This morning, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. We've been talking about some lessons that we can observe from that book. We've made mention specifically of the main theme of the book. And while many people think the main theme of the book is Job's suffering, we need to actually kind of change our mindset in regards to that. The main theme is God. That's what this book is about. This book is the, if you will, the revelation of who God is to mankind and to believers as well as the unbelievers. And very specifically, the book of Job deals a lot with who God is and, if you will, man's kind of idea of who he thinks he is. And man's ideas are often not exactly what aligns with who God actually is. People get confused. People think of him in a human sense, and he is not. People get a mindset of how he operates and how he behaves, and they take and they misapply things from Scripture in an incorrect manner that brings about the wrong thought process. We find Job's friends doing that. We find that that's where, if you will, their fallacy lies with specifically how they thought about God and in turn how they thought about Job. And, you know, it was very hard. And if you ever read the book, it's very hard to see all of that happening. Now, last week we talked about what Job's friends did right. And they did a lot of stuff right, as we saw. And there's some things that we need to look at in our lives about how we approach that, about how we look at what we do when we see somebody else suffering the way that Job suffers. Maybe they're not even going through it as bad as that, but we still need to be very cognizant. We need to be very aware of it. We need to be, if you will, walking circumspectly, that when we see those opportunities, we can do that all for the glory of God. Now, this morning, I want us to take a look a bit about Job himself. And kind of, if you will, who was Job? And we're not going to look at it from the sense of his lineage or where he came from or anything of that, in that regard. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at Job and say, well, what does Job in his life show us about God? What does it reveal? And it reveals, if you will, some of the mindset and thought process of God. Now look, the Lord tells us that obviously his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We can't think like him. We're not going to have the same mindset as him. We're not going to have all of those things in mind the way that he does. But that being said, he does show us how he thinks. This morning I quoted a verse that we all know is part of the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that that is God's desire. We know that that is his will. We know that's what he wants. But here we see a revelation of who, of what God thinks about specifically when it comes to us as human beings. And those that claim to believe God and have a relationship with God. And we're going to see the primary thing here. Before we get started too much further, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again so much for the time and the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you so much for all those that are here. And Lord, I just pray above all that your word would just penetrate deep into our hearts and truly take root. That we would think about this subject matter, that we'd think about what it is that concerns you about our lives. And Lord, I just pray that we would have that understanding this morning through your Holy Spirit, that we would walk away from this very much in a meditative state, thinking about what you have done for us, thinking about who you are, and thinking about what we do, even in our deepest recesses of our heart. I thank you again, Lord, for your word that you've preserved and given to us. And Lord, may you be glorified in all that is said and done, that this would all be pleasing in your sight. I ask and pray this in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Job chapter 1, we find here very specifically in verse 1, something that is mentioned about Job. And it says in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And we see very clearly all of these things that the Lord says about Job. And we see very specifically about what God says about him in verse 8. And the Lord answers Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." And we again find that this is something that is repeated about Job, and it kind of sets, if you will, the expectation of who Job is. And all of these things, if you will, kind of summarize who he is, what he's about. Over in James chapter 5 in verse 11, it talks about the patience of Job. And sometimes people, you know, think about that. And again, the early church was very well aware of who Job was. Job was somebody that was used as an example. Obviously, James used him as an illustrative example of having patience going through tribulation. And that really, if you will, frames a lot of the context of the book of James. And what we find is as Job goes through all of this, he still does have patience. Now, again, there's a lot of things that Job was, you know, asking questions about, and God was, you know, very clearly answered him. But what we find is that Job, with this patience and this perfectness, this uprightness, this fearing God, this avoiding things that are evil and sinful in his life, we find that this compromise, if you will, just kind of makes up who he is. And I want us to go over to the second chapter of the book of Job, and we find the main principle of what we're talking about this morning. And we see in verse 3, after Job has already suffered some major losses in his life, he's already gone through some major suffering, we see exactly what the Lord thinks about when it comes to us as human beings, when it comes to us as his people. And the Lord said unto Satan in verse 3, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." He asks him, "Have you considered him?" And again, that's a very convicting thing. Obviously, Satan didn't consider that. Satan doesn't consider those things. Satan doesn't really care about those things. But this is what Satan was going after. This is why Satan was doing what Satan was doing. And we find here in this passage, in the next phrase, what God says about Job. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. You know what God is concerned with? Your integrity. When you think about something that is that relates to integrity, we think about things that truly hold things together. I mean, that word integrity, and we think about it in the form of, like, say, structural integrity. If you've ever lived in the Midwest, specifically what they refer to as the Rust Belt, don't ever buy a car that comes from Indiana. Yeah. That thing is going to have so many holes in the frame because of the stuff they use on the roads during all the winter season. Now, over here, we use our little environmentally friendly de-icers. It doesn't really affect the cars. But over there, I mean, they don't get winters like we do. I mean, today, you know, people were freaking out over the roads. It's like, there's something shiny on it. And it did cause some slick issues. Over there, you know, I'll never forget, I was on the phone one time talking to a regional vice president over in the Chicago area, and he said, Ken, I'm on the phone with you right now. He said, this is the weirdest thing. He says, I'm driving through this highway, and he says, on either side of me is 10 feet of snow. He said, this is weird. He's like, it's like I'm driving through a tunnel, but I'm not driving through a tunnel. He's like, I'm driving through some sort of valley. He's like, this is tough. This is intense. And I'm like, dude, you need to send me some pictures. But I will tell you this. You get a car from there, that car is going to have so many rust holes in it. And I've seen people try to go repair those rust holes. And, you know, these people that think they're welders and try to repair the frame, and it's bad and all sorts of stuff. And you get that thing on the lift, and it is only being held together by the rust itself. You just push on the rust and the thing falls to the ground. It's just destroyed. You know what? It's lost its structural integrity. If the frame of the car is gone, what do you do with the car? Scrap it. Scrap it. You don't sell it, you scrap it. Because if it gets into a wreck, that thing's just going to turn into powder. It's junk, it's gone. It's just, you do away with it. It's lost its integrity to do the function with which it was intended. To carry you from one place to another safely. It's lost its ability to do that. And when we look at integrity, and we look at how God is concerned with the integrity of Job, we find that all of those things that we just listed, that God lists himself, and including what is referenced over in James with the patience, all makes up that integrity part of James, or of Job. And what he was doing. And how he behaved in his life. And I want to say this, that the integrity wasn't something that was necessarily, if you will, evident from the very beginning. It's something that as he goes through the trial becomes evident. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you go through a trial in your life, you know what it's going to show? What your integrity is. What are you made of? You know, there are certain things that you just don't want to make something out of. Early on, they began to realize making cars out of wood was not a good idea. They had to use some metal. Some people, I mean, begin to realize, you know, making a car out of fiberglass, the entire body out of fiberglass, not a good idea. There's one car in the United States of America that has the highest death rate. Guess what it is? The Chevy Corvette. Because most of it is fiberglass. And if you've ever worked in an ER, and you ever worked in any type of hospital setting, or a paramedic, or a firefighter, or a law enforcement officer, you understand that sometimes those cars, if there's no structural integrity to that car, it's a very difficult thing to deal with. Especially when you have to go notify a family member. When we go through these trials that we go through in this life, it's going to reveal what your integrity is. What is it made of? Now look, we see this here, we're talking about perfectness. We see him talking about uprightness. We see him talking about fearing God and eschewing evil. And when we look at all of that, I mean, when we think about what is perfect, we think about, if you will, part of the definition is to give all to something that is required. If you know, when God says, be ye perfect, sometimes we don't understand what that means. We don't get it. Because when we think about perfect, we think of without flaw, and we think of without, you know, mark. We think about all those things. But when you truly look at the definition of what perfectness is about, from a biblical perspective, as well as from an etymology perspective, you find that it all deals with giving the all of yourself towards something that is requisite or being required. That changes a little bit of what we think about with perfectness, isn't it? Because isn't that the first commandment? Love the Lord thy God with what? All. And he goes, all our heart, all soul, all mind, all strength. All of that, right? But it's all. What does God want of you? All of you. All of you. You know what that means? God had all of Job. He had all that wealth, but that's not what Job loved. He had all those family members, all his sons and daughters, and while he loved them, that wasn't his first love. He had a wife, and he loved her, but she wasn't his true love. God was. God says, that's perfect. That's what I want. You know, that makes up the integrity of us. When we go through trials, a lot of times people rely on things that are not God. And what happens? It begins to reveal where the idols are in their life. It begins to reveal where there's structural integrity flaws, where the cracks are, where the holes are, where the rust is. Perfectness. Uprightness. When it comes to integrity, the main thing that we see with that is uprightness. And what is that? That's not deviating from the correct moral principles of the Bible. God's Word. And we're not talking about moral principles from the worldly perspective. Amen? The world's moral principles are severely lacking. Can we just say that this morning? They lack morals. People will say, well, you know, here's my mindset, you know, of what I think my morality is. And you look at the world today and there's a lot of people that say, oh, abortion is a good moral thing. No, it's not. It's not. When we look at what God says specifically about moral principles, it is moral principles according to God's word. So when God calls him upright, I want you to understand that Job's heart and mindset was to not deviate from what God told him to do. Deviation leads to integrity issues. Deviation leads to moral holes in the structure and cracks. What do we find here specifically that he's talking about? He's talking about what he has told Job. Because remember, the Bible wasn't around when Job was there. It was everything that he had heard from God himself. We find that that's what uprightness is. It's not a deviation from it. We've got road construction and that detour that's there, that road that's closed is going to go through all the way through April. Amen. And when you try to leave here, traffic backs up, and trying to get in and traffic backs up. So you start going through the back roads and you realize, oh, hey, I guess they haven't completely developed everything of Ridgefield yet. There's still some grass around here. Amen. And I understand development. I know why we have development, but you know, people that say we're overdeveloped, go the back roads and you'll see there's a lot of nice greenery and nice lush forests and all sorts of stuff out there. And I'll tell you this, you know, when you look at all that, you go, wow, but you know what? You're deviating from the path with the detour. And sometimes people do that on purpose, even though the way is specifically the way you're supposed to be going. But they look at it and they say, man, I don't know. That's too narrow. That's too straight. I don't know if I can go that. I'm going to go ahead and go around that and go maybe a little bit of a different direction. to try to get where I'm going to get. You ever have somebody that says, hey, I know a shortcut? I'm going to keep my illustrations to just that phrase. Look, there are no shortcuts with the uprightness, according to God. There is no deviation from that. Those are his standards. Those are his principles. Those are his commandments. Those are his precepts. Those are his statutes. Those are everything that we need for our day-to-day life. It says he feared God. He feared God. He knew God was a judge. He knew that God was holy. He knew that God was righteous, and he knew that God doesn't tolerate sin. And because of that fear that he had in his life, as the book of Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. Job was wise, and Job had knowledge because he feared God. People today think that knowledge comes from, if you will, some sort of education or understanding of some things. No, when you look at things, your education should show you more about who God is, that you would fear a holy and righteous Creator that died on the cross for your sins, that said, I will give them forgiveness of sins, and then give them eternal home in heaven because of the power of His resurrection. You know, every week we put out those these little things, these creation moments. And there's already a bunch of them that have began to collect. And the reason we put these out isn't just, you know, for some filler. The reason we put them out is because the more you read this, the more you look at it, and even if you look at the little videos and things that they have with the little QR codes and all that jazz, if you're tech savvy, you know what? It shows you who God is. That this just didn't happen by chance. That this didn't happen because it rained on some rock and an amoeba formed. It shows that it was God as a creator. And he made all of this to show you who he is and to reveal it. Is this educational? 100%. It's also evangelical, if you will. You got somebody that's questioning some things. You know what? We might be, you know, saying, oh, well, I want to hold on to these. But there might be somebody that might be struggling with it. And you say, hey, you know what? Why don't you take a look at these? We can always print more. Amen? Give them to somebody and say, hey, you're struggling with what the world is. You're struggling with knowing who God is. You're struggling with all of that. Here you go. That's why we have our theme that we have in basic. Because what is creation going to reveal to these little children? It's going to reveal who God is. And it causes us to fear Him. And not in a fear as we're afraid of the dark or afraid of heights, or afraid of water, or afraid of going outside and we're agoraphobic, or afraid of this, or a phobia of that, or whatever it is. No, no, it's not that same kind of thing. What the fear of God does is it causes us, like every emotion, to draw us nearer to Him. That's what our emotions were created to do. That's why God gave them to us. That fear, and fear of who He is, will cause you to say, I want to know more about Him. I want to know more about Him. Job feared God. But Job didn't even have this book yet. He didn't have the Bible. It says he eschewed evil. You take a look there in that verse where it says, in verse 3 of chapter 2, and the same with verse 1 over in chapter 1 and verse 8 over in chapter 1, all of those things, and it mentions eschewing evil, eschewing evil, eschewing evil. I like that word eschew. It's not one that's used a lot today. And look, just because it's not used does not mean it's archaic. It just means that we kind of neglected our English language and we chose not to use it anymore for something that is less descriptive. A shoe really gets down to the meat of it. A shoe really gets down to more than just, if you will, avoidance with it, but it truly gets us to look at and say it is something that is, if you will, repulsive enough that we would flee from it, that we would say, ew, I don't want any part of that. Even has the word ew in there. I just realized that. Shewed evil. You know, that's the way sin should be to us, amen? Yeah. We should look at it the same way that God does. He's grossed out by it. There's some things that, you know, are gross in this life. I'm not going to go into details about stuff, but, you know, there's some people, they can't watch, like, you know, injuries or surgeries or something like that. I see something of that nature and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And, I want to know more about it. The human body is fascinating. It's an amazing thing. We got a couple of nurses in here, and they're very well aware of the human body, and they study the anatomy, and it's all stuff like that, and it's kind of cool. So when we were in the hospital, Amy and I, we would always ask these nurses, we kind of had this little survey, impromptu survey, informal survey going, what grosses you out the most? And yeah, Chuck's been a nurse for a long time. Mark's been a nurse. Joanne, Beth, and Susan. And we got a lot of nurses in here. Praise God, something happens to us. At least we got some people to know what they're doing. Amen? I mean, I have as much medic training as I can stop the bleeding for a little while till we get some better help. That's about all I can do. Get some quick clot, get some bandages, you know, let's stop the sucking chest wound and let's, you know, get the tourniquets out and things like that. You don't want me operating on you. Praise God. Okay. But I will tell you this. We asked the question, well, what grosses you out? And you know what most of them said? The phlegm from trach patients. I mean, we had one gal, she said, yep, she said there was one time, that something happened and somebody was moving a bedpan over her and something happened to the patient or whatever and it wound up dumping for and covering her head to toe. That's gross. But she was more grossed out by the phlegm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're not grossed out by blood. They're not grossed out by this. They're not grossed out by that. There was one that she said, maggots. And I'm like, huh? Yep, they had a patient that had maggots. Blah. You're like, oh, this is gross. Yeah, hey, potluck's here. Got to curb that appetite to make sure that we keep the proportions in check, right? Amen? But I say all of that, and as we sit there and we think about it, we're like, oh, that's gross, that's disgusting. Ew, why are you talking about that? Because that's how we have to respond to things that are evil in our life. Things that are harmful, things that are going to damage, things that are going to destroy, things that we should not want, and that the Lord says, you don't want those. You know what Job said? No, I don't. And because of that, he held fast to the integrity. He held fast to the integrity. And the one thing that I see about Job's integrity is that he had some unwavering faith. The first part of the trial that he goes through, what happens? Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, after he gets all of these things and he shaves his head and he rents his mantle, he does all these things. And verse 21 of verse 1, he says, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His faith in God did not waver during the trial. Yeah, he had some questions. But his faith never wavered. He never sinned with his mouth. It says the same thing over in chapter 2. In chapter 2, when his wife tells him, curse God and die. Well, thanks. And in verse 10 of chapter 2, it says, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive? Or what shall we receive? Good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips?" And I want us to understand something about this. When he refused to sin with his lips, you know, based off of what Christ said, where do our words come from? His heart was still fixed upon God. It was still perfect. God was still his all. And that was never going to waver. Even when he lost everything, his integrity remained. He never wavered in that faith. His heart remained perfect. His heart remained upright. His heart decided, I'm not going to go that direction with sin because that's not the right choice here. I'm going to eschew it. He was faithful. And he wouldn't do anything in his heart with his lips to compromise that relationship with God. That's integrity, folks. Integrity is when we look at it and we say, you know what, I'm not going to allow that to affect how I think about God. I'm not going to allow that to affect my, you know, how it goes through, you know, what I'm going through. I'm not going to allow that to affect my relationship with God. I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to still be in my word. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to fellowship with the saints. I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to read my Bible. I'm going to still study my Bible. And in fact, I'm going to do all those things and more because I need it now more than ever. Amen. The mindset that is backwards today is, oh man, I'm going through all this. I just don't have it in me to read my Bible. Nobody's going to understand what I'm going through. I think I just need to be alone and isolate myself. Okay, Elijah. Guess what your next thought process is going to be? God, kill me now. Yeah. God wasn't happy when Elijah said that, by the way. He got a little bit of a rebuke. But we sit there and we think all of those things sometimes, and I tell you, that's not the right process. Because you know what that does? That compromises the integrity of the relationship that you have with God. That compromises how you view Him. That compromises what you think about His Word. That compromises the communication that you have with Him, where He speaks to you and you speak to Him in prayer. It compromises things. And the next thing you know is you've got, you know, your A-frame is rusted out. Your main support beam that holds your suspension together is rusted out. Your engine mounts are rusted out, and the very first, you know, bump that you hit on I-5 through those concrete seams, you drop your entire transmission and engine on the ground on I-5. There's times I've been driving over there saying, thank God I'm not in the rust belt, because that last pothole would have done some damage. Would have done some damage. Strut goes flying out. Wheel just goes that direction as you keep going this way. That's what happens when we don't do those things. This is what integrity is about. But there's even so much more about this integrity, and I want you to turn to chapter 13 of Job, and we find this. And again, these are some principal verses, and they're ones we're familiar with, but I want us to see this is when God said He holds fast His integrity. He holds fast His integrity. And this is why he held fast to his integrity. Because we find in this passage, in chapter 13, Job makes a statement that is very, 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 very profound and is one that we've mentioned frequently because it is so very important to the integrity of what we have with God. Verse 15, it says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." You know what he said? "I'm not going to go this way or that way or backwards or anywhere else. I'm going to maintain it. And why is it I'm going to maintain it? Because I trust him. I trust him." Your integrity is only going to be as good as your trust in God. Your integrity, when you go through something, is only going to be as good as when you trust him wholly. I'm not talking about, yeah, I guess I trust him. No. You trust him because you believe what he said. Just like Abraham did when he exercised that faith. "God, you tell me to go over here. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea where I'm going. I've never been there before. You want me to leave my family? You want me to leave everything I've known? You want me to leave all of that? And you want me to go over here where I've really got nothing? Okay. I'll believe you, Lord, because you told me that you're going to give me a promise. You're going to do something. I believe it. I believe it." Abraham did that. Faith. We talk about trust. Abraham trusted God, obviously. And even through all of this, you know what? Job never wavered in his trust. He said, "Even though I die, even though that God says, no, your time's up." I'll tell you this. When you're laying in a hospital bed for 104 days, that thought crosses your mind. A couple of times. Just a few. I'll be transparent. A lot. Because when you go through a surgery and you're getting ready and they begin to put the little mask and things on you and all that fun stuff, and you're going in there and you're listening to some song that they're playing that says, "I don't care." Yeah, and I'm like, that's not quite the appropriate song to be playing, but all right. Like, okay. I just remember those lyrics, you know, that song saying, "I don't care." I'm just like, wow, maybe you should choose something else. Can we get a little Beethoven in here? Maybe some Tchaikovsky? Something a little different. Have some consideration. Amen? Every time you go through all that, you know what you think? I wonder if I'm going to wake up and see Jesus. And you know what? There's a lot of trust. And through all of what I went through, it just reinforced my trust in him more. When I struggled through all that, it reinforced my trust in God more. I had to trust him. Obviously, my body wasn't trusting itself. It'd attack itself, rip itself open, and do all sorts of crazy stuff. Oh, lovely. But the end result that I see is that Job, through all of this, even though that death was, if you will, a very real possibility for him, he still said, even if that happens right now, I'm still going to trust him. I still know he's going to know exactly what he's doing. He's not going to sit there and go, "Oh, whoops, I didn't mean to press that button. Oh, he's dead. Gabriel, can we get a resurrection on that guy?" No, no, God knows. God knows. There's no whoops with God. And when we get into the mindset of that regardless of what happens in our life, I'm going to trust him anyways, and I'm going to maintain that integrity, we're going to be revealing truly who God is. Because this is what God cares about. And I will tell you this, you know how that trust was built up? You know how that trust in God came to be? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you. Turn to chapter 23. Chapter 23. We hear about his perfectness. We hear about his uprightness. We hear about his fear of God. We hear about his eschewing evil. We hear about his patience. We see some of his faith here. We see some of his trust. And what was it all based upon is right here in verse 12 of chapter 23 of the book of Job. What does it say? He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. What did he do? He kept his integrity. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know what that means? That means he took what he had heard from God, and he, remember, he didn't have the Bible. He took what he heard from God, and he said, I need that more than I need a steak. More than I need bacon-wrapped shrimp. More than I need a good vegetarian burger.
Yeah.
More than I need tofu. Whatever it is that you think you need in this life for nutrition, you need spiritual nutrition from God to maintain the integrity in your life. What would happen if you decided, I'm not going to eat for the next 40 days? No, I'm talking about like not eat for the next 40 days. Oh, yeah. You'd be dead. You'd have some serious problems. Now, obviously, people can do it. Jesus did it. But I will tell you this, when we start looking at things, we start looking at what's necessary in this life, people are like, well, as long as I got some food, I'm okay. When it comes to your spiritual life, which is more important than your physical life, and this is where we got to get that changed thought process. The spiritual is more important than the physical. Amen?
Amen.
You got to say it to yourself all together. Spiritual is more important than the physical.
Amen.
You say that over and over again, not like some sort of chant or anything of that nature, but truly understand that from the Word of God, my spiritual life is more important than what I do in this physical life, and that what my physical body needs, I need this more than I need a cookie. I need this more than I need a good dinner. You know what? That is what caused his integrity to remain. Because his trust was in God. His trust was in what he said. And he said, I'm going to stick with what he told me to do. And guess what? I'm going to esteem that more than my necessary food. Meaning that in the prioritization of his life, before he got his coffee in the morning, before he had his donut, before he had his bagel with cream cheese, he had the Word of God. If you're wondering about your integrity this morning, start there. God has given us everything that we need. Amen? It's complete. It's perfect. It's inspired. It's preserved. As we've been talking about when on Sunday evenings, it has authority behind it. It has power behind it. It has truth in it. What more do we need in our life? And you know, that's how Job viewed what God told him. And again, I want us to put this in perspective. And I'm not trying to put Job up on a pedestal, but I'm trying to show you how much Job had a reverence for God, who he was, and loved God the way that he did. I want you to understand this. You ever have somebody tell you something and then you forget it? That happened to anybody. And some of us say, praise God, I've got a cell phone now on a computer that keeps those things in my mind. And then guess what? We forget to add a reminder. Or we forget to check our phone. We forget to charge our phone. We forget our phone somewhere else. Whatever it may be, and all of a sudden it's like our world has ended. Job didn't have a cell phone. Job didn't have a computer. And whether he wrote those things down, I don't know. But you know what? Job remembered what God said. Job remembered what God said. I guarantee you, most of us are not going to remember what I said this morning. But we need to remember what God said. We need to remember what He tells us. And we have a book that we can go back to. We have a book that we can reference. We have Eastward where we can look it up when we don't remember it. We're like, I think I kind of know that. And then we get one word in there, we're like, oh, there it is. He didn't have any of those tools. He had purposed in his heart that he was going to esteem that word of the utmost importance. And he said, this is what I'm going to base my integrity on. Not on something subjective like social norms. Not something subjective based upon, if you will, the world's moral relativity. He didn't have any of that. But he had an integrity that was based on God's word. And what does this show us about God? We go back over there to Job chapter 2. And we see in that passage, in verse 3, that while again he goes through the list of traits that we find with Job, the one thing that God points out to Job as he's going through all of this, it says, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. And I want to say this again. While sometimes we don't understand it, the integrity is revealed by when we go through it. But it was there to begin with. Don't wait to try to have integrity when you're going through it. It's too late.
Right.
You're trying to weld something that's rusted. You're trying to use Gorilla tape and duct tape to hold the bumper on. You're trying to use zip ties to make sure that your wheels and your brakes are holding together. And you're like, that's stupid. Amen? Don't wait till that. Start with the integrity. Like, okay, well, where do I start? Start with His Word. Start with loving the Word of God. Start with viewing that as one of your most important things that you do during the day. Think about it constantly. Don't stop thinking about the Word of God. Don't stop thinking about what He said. Don't stop thinking about His commandments. Don't stop the thought process of sitting there and saying, well, what does God think about this? Don't think, what are my parents going to say? Don't sit there and go, what are my friends going to say? Don't think, what is my spouse going to think? What are my kids going to think? What are my coworkers going to think? Push all that aside and say, what does God think? And don't just leave the question unanswered. The integrity part goes, it goes to going back to the Word of God, going back to the commandments, going back to what He says, and saying, you know what? Right there, that's what He wants me to do. In His book, that's what He wants me to do. Integrity. The book of Job reveals God, and it reveals that God is concerned with your integrity. Are you going to hold when you go through the difficult trials? Are you going to hold when you're going down the road? Or are you going to start losing parts along the way because the road gets a little rough? I'll tell you this, the road gets rough from time to time. It's not always smooth, nice asphalt that has just been put on there. You ever drive on that? And you get on there and you're just like, oh, And then you hit high five. And you're fighting ruts, and you're fighting the potholes, and you're fighting this, and you're fighting that. You know what? That's the Christian life. Yeah, there might be some times where you go, oh, this is nice. But I'll tell you this. There's a lot of potholes. There's a lot of creases. There's a lot of ruts. There's a lot of things that are meant and intended to get you off to the side of the road, to take you out, to destroy you. But if your integrity is there and your integrity remains because you trust God with your all and you love His Word above everything and you are perfect in your love towards Him, there you go. There's integrity. God is concerned with that. God is concerned with that. Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want us to kind of think on a couple of things. If you're here today and maybe you're a believer and you realize maybe your integrity is not what it's supposed to be, I encourage you to get that taken care of today. And whether you come forward and come to an altar to pray or you do it in your seat, you know, however you do it, you need to do it and you need to do it now. Get that integrity taken care of before you go through the trials, before you go through the problem. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll tell you this, it's going to be very difficult to go through those trials. You need to know God. You need to know who your Savior is. You need to have a relationship that is, if you will, restored and reconciled according to the Word of God. You need salvation from your sins. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to come forward. I encourage you to receive that gift. Somebody will take you and show you from the Bible what that means. But don't delay. You don't know what trial's coming. You don't know what's coming down the road. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Now's the time to do it. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for this time. I thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to hear from Your Word and to realize that integrity matters to You. I pray, Lord, that we would just take and be reflective of this and that, Lord, we would truly think on these things. That, Lord, our integrity would be exactly what You desire it to be. They're built upon the trust in You and the trust in Your Word, our faith in You and who You are, that we would love You with everything that we have, that, Lord, we would fear You, we would not deviate from Your paths, and that, Lord, we would not allow that sin to derail us from that walk with You. I thank You again, Lord, for those that are here this morning, and all of this I do ask and pray in Your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.